Paranormal. Para X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world.
When we do.
We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show here in the Para X Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie, and we have a special evening tonight, don't we?
We do. Our Halloween edition.
Yes.
Of the Gathering.
And we are live at the My Spirit Experience Studios.
Yes, we are. Which I have left decorated.
Yes.
From my event this weekend. Mm-hmm. So it's a little spookier in here than normal. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a lot spookier than normal.
Right.
Not as spooky as it was on Friday.
No.
But I have to take some of it down.
You still have the doll room.
I do have the doll room. The doll room's awesome.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Yeah, and creepy. And we have an audience here tonight.
We do. We have an audience here. Hello, everybody. Welcome.
Yay! And we have a very special guest here this evening.
We do.
We have Wendy Webb, who's a phenomenal author here in Minnesota. Yay, Wendy!
Welcome!
I'm happy to be back. I'm so happy to be here and officially creeped out by the doll room.
I agree.
People, you don't know. These are the creepiest dolls I've ever seen.
Yay!
Yes.
That just warms my heart.
And they have stories. I'm going to be dreaming tonight.
Oh, no. Well, you never know. They might be kind of wild dreams.
Yeah.
And you'll be texting us saying, oh my God, what's going on?
Exactly.
Well, just be careful, because what if they're really there?
Oh. She don't know.
Yeah, stop. We don't want to scare her like that.
I don't do it on purpose.
Yes, you do.
We were talking before the show and I said, you know, the studio is really zen and peaceful and healing, and that's 364 days a year. And I love being on the side of the light. I love it. It's where I do the work that I do, and I'm really grateful for that. But I'm not afraid of the dark either, and so I will celebrate that. And there's nothing here that's really awful or dangerous or disgusting. I mean, nothing like that, but you know, I do celebrate the dark side of things, and that there are dangers out there in the world that we have to, you know, think about. And I bring those pieces into the studio so that we can understand what's possible. And for people to not take this necessarily as a joke. You see these movies with the dolls that are possessed and whatever, and there really are dolls that are in this studio that are still connected with their original owners and very active through them. Mm-hmm. And so I do want to bring those stories to people so that people can understand that this is real and to not take it lightly and to be, to not, you know, joke around if they think that there's something going on with an item. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be really a serious thing.
Exactly.
So it's more for education, I think, and some of it's for fun, you know, the rest of the items. But so there are some items here that are really, like the Ouija board that's behind me, is there's an educational value to that as well. Anyway,
And it's an education for me to see all this stuff. I call it research. You know, this is really the extent of the research that I do.
Mm-hmm. Some of this might turn up in one of your books.
Exactly.
See?
Exactly.
That would be so cool.
Yeah. I want to to talk a little bit about enchanted objects, though. And you hear a lot about dolls. What is it about dolls? Is that they're so loved and so close to a person that they can take on that energy?
Yeah, it's anything that's a personal item can take on some of the energy of that of the owner. So, you know, but dolls have a different kind of energy because they represent a human form.
Right.
And so it does take on a stronger energy, I believe. It takes on a more human energy because of the shape of it. It's mm-hmm. intended to be human shaped. And so it does take on a different energy, probably a stronger energy, but it also has to have that human connection. If there's a human connection to anything, if it's a piece of jewelry or, you know, back in the day where you had the one hairbrush that was your got it as a gift and it was your hairbrush for life. I mean, whatever it is, if it's a really strong human connection, there will be that. There could be that, like you said, enchantment. But a doll is different. A doll does have that human mm-hmm. form, so there's more intention there mm-hmm. with connecting it to a human type energy.
Okay. Interesting. I can see that turning up in a plot someday.
Oh,
Well, and then there are some dolls that have been intentionally inhabited by people have put spirits in them.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
I forget what they call that. What's the word?
I don't know the word. I probably have heard it, but if there's a term, I don't know off the top of my head, but people can call in a spirit and which is not right to do because I don't think the spirit wants to be in the doll either. Now, some of the dolls that I have in there, the human that it was their doll, they do work through that doll still. And could I shut it down? Yeah, I could. I don't, because again, it's part of this educational purpose. And I also want to put it out there saying, hey, I'm telling you, don't interact with this doll. So are you going to listen?
Yes, no? I will listen.
Don't take pictures of the Ouija boards. Yeah. Are you going to listen? You know, so I kind of want to put this piece out there, you know, just being respectful of someone else's property and see if people will. Mm-hmm. Because it's on them if they mess around, not me. I hate to say it. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
there's all kinds of things revolving around dolls. I mean, we used to have an investigator on our team that had possessed dolls or dolls that had trapped spirits. And I don't think she has them anymore, though, right? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And did you get rid of them? I can't remember.
We sent it out.
So when talking about a spirit that can inhabit a doll, is that a spirit of somebody who has died, or is that a more evil sort of thing?
Well, I guess speaking for the dolls that I have here, I have one doll in particular.
You know which one it is.
She has the energy of her original owner with her. Now, she's not in her, but she can use the doll as a portal to get through. So that's the doll I was showing you earlier that you shouldn't talk to her, engage her.
Yes.
Because that will kind of connect with the owner, and the owner can then come through, and that doll has moved around the studio because it's the original owner has been active here through the doll.
You know what I don't want? I'll just tell you, people, what I don't want is to get in my car after this and have that doll in the back seat.
No.
I just don't want that to go on.
Right. And I've had that happen with other dolls. So it's not the owner of the dolls originally or the spirit of some human. It's just the energy that it has been in has created something that is active, you know. So I have a couple of dolls in there that I also don't want you to touch because they have an energy about them that is very dangerous or hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want people to be hurt by that energy, but it's not necessarily a human soul that's connected with it that's creating this energy. It's just because of what it's been in. It's kind of like you stick a doll in a swamp and you pull it out of the swamp and it's full of muck.
Yeah.
You know, think of the same thing if you put a doll in a yucky home environment, you know, abusive home environment, negative energy, whatever. And then you get that muck all over it. And that muck, if it's not cleaned off, it's just going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so the ones that people have actually trapped spirits in, those spirits are souls. They're spirits.
They're spirits of people. Okay.
If it's done with intention,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Do you believe in spirits that have not been people?
Yeah, they're all over.
And where do they come from?
It depends on what kind of spirits we're talking about. I mean, there are so many beings that aren't human.
See, I'm asking because I don't know if anybody out there has read my last book, The End of Temperance Dare.
Yeah.
Temperance is a, I'll just say, demon.
Mm-hmm.
And do you believe there's such a thing as just like a bad seed, like a child can be born with that in them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, she was.
She was.
I read the book.
Was.
Yes. Fabulous book. Yeah. So, yeah, I believe that too.
Yeah.
I mean, she was definitely a bad seed, right?
That's interesting. And I ask because something kind of exciting is going on with Temperance right now.
Oh.
I'm just finishing the pilot for a TV series.
Oh, really?
On The End of Temperance Dare. And I was talking with the producer today, and we were having this very conversation on the phone, like, well, what is she actually? And let's get the backstory down. And so that's just been on my mind, just an appropriate topic for the time.
Cool.
That's very cool.
There's so many beings that aren't human souls.
Yeah.
That are, it's just like, there's all these different species of animals, and mm-hmm. and then there's humans, and then there's other things that maybe we don't understand. And it's just, there's just so many layers to these beings. So mm-hmm. there's so many things that haven't been human, will never be human.
Right.
And have existed or are created or keep being created, just like, other things. There's energies based off Earth energies, and then outer dimensional beings, extraterrestrial beings. It doesn't have to be in physical form. It could be energetic form. I don't think we fully understand how many. I don't know that I could wrap my mind around. If someone sat me down and said, here's all the different ones, I think our heads would spin.
Yeah.
At the possibilities. We just can't comprehend.
I love that analogy that there's so many different types of life on Earth, animals and humans and all kinds of different kind of life. And it just is, mm-hmm. can be extrapolated to,
mm-hmm.
To that.
The supernatural.
Yeah, to the supernatural.
Yeah. Oh, we have paranormal investigators, a lot of them. I call them icky creepy.
Mm-hmm.
They're supernatural creatures.
Okay.
Maybe I'll ask you to describe them, and I say they're icky at supernatural things. But yeah, I mean that's how I say it. But in fact, Casey was she was delivering something to one of those big old grand mansions over in St. Paul, just off of Summit Avenue.
Oh yeah.
And it was a house that had just sold, and so it was the realtor that was there. And she brought him through this house. And Casey said, I am not going back in there. She said, and Casey used to be on her team. She's very gifted. And then she quit. And I thought she did put a shield around herself. But she obviously saw, he said, what did you see, Casey? Oh, icky things hanging from the ceiling on. And I'm And then she said, then when we were leaving, I said to the guy who was with her, her co-worker, she said, look up in the window. Looked up in the window and she said, I'm gathering that person. And she said, yeah, a ghost, And she said, I'll never go back in there.
Wow.
She was scared. I'll never get scared. So, yeah, crazy house. I told her she should give him a send. But yeah.
If I ever buy an old house like that, I'm going to take her with me while I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
So she can tell me.
Yes. Gosh, yeah, no, she was like, ugh. Do we sound okay? You guys are fading in and out.
Oh, you are. I think you get farther away from the mic when you turn.
Oh, okay. I won't turn around.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll just keep looking at you.
Well, so this time of year, weird things start happening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a couple stories of some weird things, and maybe you can interpret them for me, or maybe some of your listeners, because this one I have no explanation for. So A week and a half ago, I had to rush my 91-year-old dad to the ER. He has congestive heart failure, and his lungs were filling up with fluid. Went to the ER, was in the hospital, and for that week, it was really touch and go whether he was going to make it or not. And I was sitting by his bedside every day as he was sleeping. And it was a really hard week. It also happened to coincide with the anniversary of my brother's funeral.
Oh.
And on that day, I had a doctor's appointment of my own, so I left the hospital early, and I got to the car, and there was a penny sitting on the driver's seat.
Oh.
And, you know, people say, well, it could have fallen out of your pocket. It's like, I never keep anything in my pocket. I like to keep this area clear. I don't want to bulk it up with anything. So I took that as a really nice sign that you're not alone.
Pennies from heaven.
We're here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was neat. But then that night, something really weird happened. I don't know. I'm still kind of freaked out by it. So at my house, I've got a deck, and I have a patio set with four big chairs, like armchairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home from the hospital, and, you know, the patio set and chairs were all in their places. And the evening wore on. I let my dog out at about 8. Everything was fine. So the next morning, I've got one of those Ring cameras, and I always look. First thing I do every morning is look and see what's happened in the yard at night.
Usually
I just see a fox or something. It's kind of fun. But I'm looking at the Ring, and at 9:15, something set it off, and there's the table and the chairs. And then at 9:45, it was set off again, and one of the chairs was pushed all the way to the end of the deck.
Uh-huh.
There is no recording between. There's no recording of the chair moving.
Oh.
Which it should have done.
Well, yeah.
It's a motion-activated camera.
It's a motion-activated camera, and I swear, a bug flies by and that thing goes off. It's very sensitive. So it's I have hundreds of recordings of, you know, oh, there's a bee flying through the yard.
Mm-hmm.
It did not record. I have no idea how that chair moved.
Wow.
It's a big chair.
Yeah.
And it was that night that, you know, the anniversary of my brother's funeral when all this stuff was going on with my dad. And
I think it was your brother.
I don't know.
Just came back, kicked back and relaxed.
Just kicked back. What do you think?
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah.
I don't. The penny sounds like your brother, right? I'm looking at Kim. The penny feels like the brother. The chair doesn't. I don't think the chair is.
I have no idea what that, and I, you know, and the reason I looked at the Ring in the first place was I let the dog out in the morning and noticed the chair.
Yeah. I wanted to see what happened.
I said, what the heck?
Yeah.
And
it feels like someone's messing around, not a human.
Oh, yeah. Because even the movement of the, that would have set it off.
Yeah. What do you think? Of course.
Yeah.
Spirit can manipulate anything. They can manipulate electronics. They can manipulate a chair. So they could manipulate the chair moving without it being picked up on the camera.
Are orbs really a thing? Like in pictures?
They can be.
You know, there's various
orbs.
You know, there's dust orbs that people say, oh my God, it's a spirit. No, a spirit. They're different kinds of orbs, but they're not usually, it's not spirits. If they're true orbs, it's indicative that they're not energy, which means maybe there's some spirits around. But they're not like wolves flying through the air.
Okay. Because the camera has picked up some orbs kind of dancing around.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't thought too much of that, but none of this chair business, I don't know.
You never know.
You have to keep your eye on it because, I mean,
there's moisture orbs too. So if there's a lot of humidity in the air, or like it's rained or something, some of those orbs look like they could be paranormal orbs. But
it just depends.
Yeah, usually if there's something to do with paranormal, they have kind of light, their own light, and have kind of hard outlines.
Okay.
So if you kind of think about that in photos.
I'll look.
Yeah.
I'll look.
That's cool. Cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I would say that the chair moving is not anyone you know.
Yeah, maybe it's just somebody passing
through. Yeah, it could be someone just passing through.
Yeah.
Spirit passing through, but it's definitely someone messing with you. It's not someone that's trying to say hi, like that you know.
No.
Not intuitively, that's not what I'm getting.
Yeah, it just seemed like, I don't know. I don't want to say a violent thing to do because that's too negative, but it was just like forceful.
It definitely wants to be seen.
Yeah. Yeah.
The veil is really thin right now. So the spirits are everywhere, as you know, I'm sure.
Yes.
And you have a little bit of supernatural ability too, right? So have you seen like shadow figures that
not
spirits hanging around?
Not in this house. I've lived there now. Oh, it's about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And it's got a really good vibe, mm-hmm. really good energy.
Mm-hmm. What about other places, like outside, like when you walk the dog?
Oh, yeah.
Things slipping around.
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Yeah, because it's so thin. Well, everywhere.
Did I? I don't know if I told this story when I was on last time, but here's another weird thing that has happened. And this is just the kind of thing that happens in my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because I write about kind of spooky paranormal things, so I'm just noticing things or what, but a lot of strange things do happen to mm-hmm. me when I walk my dog.
Yeah.
And one really cold winter day, I was walking the dog in my neighborhood, and it was about 10 o'clock in the morning. And so everybody was in school or at work or whatever, and the neighborhood was deserted. And all of a sudden, I see up ahead this round black thing cruising across the road, just rolling across the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it rolled right across my path. And I looked at it, and it was a balloon. Oh. It was a black balloon.
Oh.
And I thought, well, how's this thing just rolling
right
on its own, cruising somewhere, had some place to go.
Yeah.
And I was kind of creeped out by it, but I just, you know, I walked by it, and it just rolled away. And so I continued my walk, and about a half hour later, I got home, and the balloon was sitting at the foot of my stairs to go up to the house. And I had my phone with me, and I took a picture of it.
That's creepy.
And I put it on Facebook.
I would too. It's been following me home.
This creepy black balloon has followed me home.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that.
I know. It was just this weird harbinger of doom. And my dog didn't much like it either.
No. Karin's like, now that's creepy. It is creepy. It is creepy.
So what did you do with the balloon?
Well, I was scared of it.
I would be scared. What would you do? I would call
my name. So you just left it out there to float away?
Yes, left it out there. And kind of the funny thing about this is that when my son was young, I was afraid of balloons because I heard a story that, you know, a kid at a birthday party had bitten a balloon and then swallowed it and choked.
Oh.
And so I would never let him have balloons.
Oh,
well. Balloons were very evil in my household when my son was small.
Yeah.
And so now this balloon came back to scare me.
The revenge of the balloons.
The revenge of the balloons. Yeah, the dark ones. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, Jerry's talking about the ghost on Tyler Street, We still see him.
What is the ghost on Tyler Street?
Oh, yeah, you can't leave it hanging and stuff.
Well, I think I've told the story on the air before, but when we lived down on Tyler Street, I used to walk my dogs every day at 5 o'clock, just like I do now. But, you know, when you walk these dogs at 5 in the morning, you don't know.
Yes.
And it was around this time of year, and all of a sudden, this jogger goes by, and the dogs are like all perked up, and they're like, "What is going on?" And I'm like, "I don't want to hear any steps," you know. And then I went because it went by, and when I looked back, totally disappeared.
Oh, man.
And then we saw it again. Only this time it was much closer. Right, same thing, same jogger, feet not hitting the ground. So it got to the point where at this time of year I would never go in that area. It was like 2 blocks from my house. No, we took a whole different way.
Oh, wow.
And what's interesting is, so, I don't know, like 5 years ago,
my daughter worked somewhere where she had to work super early, and it was this time of year, and so she was super early for some reason, and she said, so I parked my car down there in that corner, Mom. I said, yeah. She said, I was waiting for that jogger, and I'm like, yeah. And she said, I just looked up, and there it was. I thought, see, my pants, I was so scared. You know, so he's still there, but we did find out. I did some research, and there was somebody that was killed, a tiger was killed right there on that street.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how many years ago. But I don't know if that's the spirit of that person, but that was before I started in this paranormal field. Yeah. Like, I did it 20 years before that. So, I mean, I was seeing things on my head, you know what I mean? But yeah, it's weird. Yeah, I just, you know. Yeah, now I just think I should go down there right now.
You know, this week and go down there at 5 in the morning and see if I could see him.
See if he's there still.
Yeah.
Is it the kind of thing where you think that's sort of an, I don't want to say an imprint, but like a
residual energy.
Residual energy. So it's not like somebody you're going to talk to. It's,
right.
He's and just still there jogging.
Just jog. But it's amazing. Right? Because the feet never touch the ground.
Because I would imagine someone like that jogged every day or all the time. And so I would think that something like that, especially because it's a repetitive vision, that it would be residual because it's the same thing every time. You know, if it's an interactive spirit, they're going to try and do other things. Or
right.
They're going to try and get hold of someone or at least look confused or anything.
Yeah, I think they go on different streets.
He probably ran all over the place.
Street and then Tyler Street. And then, you know.
Funny that you saw him in different
streets. Right?
Think of how he probably ran his route and, you know, he ran all over the place. So I would imagine that would be residual, you know, energy.
Well, why only this time of year, though? Maybe this
because
is
because it's easier to see. Yeah, I mean, it's,
I don't really know, but
veil might be thinner, so
for sure
easier to see.
What we call him the Ghost of Polk Street. I'm sure he's still there.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
that's a good title right there.
I know, Ghost of Polk Street. 90 years old is that? I didn't know it was that old. And he was still jogging. Wow. Yeah. So that's my story.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Why do you think some people like yourself are tapped in and can see these things and other people can't?
I kind of think it runs in families. Personally.
Well, it does definitely run in families, but why some people are stronger. I mean, when I teach a Develop Your Intuition class and we talk about this because it's like, why are some people a little intuitive? Why are some people a lot intuitive? Why are some people tuned in? Some people are like a brick, right? And I think part of it is just a natural aptitude, just like you'd have for anything. You know, some people can walk up to a piano and just start playing something. And they don't know how to play the piano yet.
I was just thinking of the piano.
I know.
Anybody could plunk out a song, but not everybody's Elton John.
Right.
Exactly.
So
I know you were thinking that. Also. No, but it's one of those things that, you know, you have a natural aptitude anyway for it. And not that, you know, if you have a natural ability, you can still develop it. And some people who, like you said, can only plunk out maybe chopsticks, you can still learn how to play the piano. Are you ever going to be Elton John? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But, you know, it's something that can be developed. But it also, like, yeah, it does run in families, but also is it welcomed in families or is it shut down in families? Is the tradition to pass on, oh, you're not seeing anything, oh, it's your imagination, or is it, well, what do you see? Who's there? You know, are you supported? Are you shut down? So I think everybody's intuitive, but is it supported or is it denied? You know, how is it welcomed or is it shut down? That will change everybody, you know, depending on, you know, you might be intuitive, and then if it's really shut down because it's frowned upon in your family, you can shut it down.
Yeah. And that could be, because it was very open in my family. I mean, my dad could see spirits and my mom. I mean, my grandma was from Norway, and her sister used to talk about spirits in the attic. She'd carry on conversations with them. And I was like, you know, 9 years old, big duplex in northeast Minneapolis.
Oh, wow.
And she was talking about spirits up there that she would talk to all the time, you know? So it was very...
So it was just normal.
It was just normal in my family. So... But I mean, my mom would kind of roll her eyes or something, you know, but it was definitely talked about. My dad saw it too. And there's that whole Irish side of the family where, of course, you know, the leprechauns and all that. So, yeah, so cool bean. So well, people are talking on the chat room now about, is there a veil or not a veil?
Well, we can talk about that when we get back from break, because we do have to take a break.
Quick, we do. Here. It's 8:30.
It is 8:30. So we're going to take a quick 2-minute break, everybody. So stay with us. This is The Gathering here on the ParaX Network.
That we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal. ParaX.
For the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the ParaX Radio Network.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on ParaX Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on ParaX?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction.
We are ready to scare you.
ParaX.
Welcome back to The Gathering here on the ParaX Network. We are with Wendy Webb here in the My Spirit Experience studio with a live studio audience.
Yay!
Welcome, everybody.
Yay!
So we've had some pretty cool stories so far. And on the break, we were talking, because before the break, we were talking about intuition and kind of running in families. Mm-hmm. And Wendy, you brought up an interesting kind of just your childhood experience. Do you mind sharing that again?
Sure. So my family, you know, we weren't like your family when, you know, the spirit world was just normal.
Yeah.
My family wasn't like that. But I do remember when I was little, we'd be sitting at the kitchen table and I would start talking about my life as an adult. And I felt like I had aged backwards. I had been older and then just got younger and younger and younger and younger. And I would talk about what I did when I was a teenager and what I did when I was a mom. And I was just full of these stories. And my family just thought it was cute and funny. But now I look back on that and I remember very well believing that and remembering my life as an adult. And so I've long wondered if it was kind of a reincarnation thing, me really remembering. Mm-hmm. And actually my brother, the one who was passed away, remembered his past lives. And he and I talked about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that he remembered several lifetimes as a warrior or a fighter. And I would make him tell me all the time, oh, tell me that story about you and them. Ship in World War II and tell me that. And so I think that's one of the reasons that I got interested in writing about this.
Yeah.
That it's just something that he and I share.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So when you were talking about being an adult when you were a kid, what was the kind of, I mean, do you remember anything that you were saying? I mean, did it seem
just normal, everyday life? At, you know, I would just come out with a story of what happened when I was a teenager and when I was in high school and going to a dance and just a very normal kind of thing.
Do you think it's stuff that you could have known about, actually known about?
I don't know.
I mean, because how would a little kid know about a school dance?
Yeah.
Really?
I was like 5. Yeah.
Well, yeah. How would you know?
Yeah. No.
That's what I think is interesting is it something you would have seen on TV? Maybe not at 5.
No.
So how would you know about a school dance?
Right.
You know, the details.
Right.
That's what I think is interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, all this stuff is, you know.
Fascinating.
That's why I focus on it. You know, you can just go down the rabbit hole.
I love it. Cool.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about a couple of dreams, too, because I want to get your opinion. I feel like I'm here interviewing you guys. I want to get your opinion on dreams of when you dream about people who have died.
Mm-hmm.
I've had two really memorable and, for me, kind of startling dreams about my mom who has passed away and my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one, I moved to this new house about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved kind of by accident because I was supposed to live in a duplex and it was all set. And about 3 days before I was set to move, the tenants informed the landlord that they just weren't leaving.
Right.
And they were going to stay and I didn't have anywhere to go.
Wow.
And I, you know, had a nervous breakdown for 5 minutes and then scrambled and found a place. But during this time, and the new place, or the place I was originally supposed to move, was this dreamy kind of deep red house.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a dream that I was showing my mom and my brother around this house that I was going to be living in.
Mm-hmm.
And they took me out the back door and walked up a hill and pointed at a yellow house with a big yard. And it was like this Disney house. There were these giant mushrooms in the yard.
Wow.
And birds were flying all over and hummingbirds. And I thought, oh, wow. So then this red house fell through. And the house that I found was this dreamy yellow house, big yard. And this, you know what sprouted on the lawn? Huge mushrooms.
I love it.
But it was the weirdest thing.
That's
and
cool.
So it was, they were showing me, no, you're not going to
live there. You're gonna
house, in, you know, in this yellow house. But they didn't say a word in the dream.
They just showed
me. They just showed me. So this past week, with everything going on with my dad, I had a dream. I grew up not far from the studio mm-hmm. in St. Louis Park. Mm-hmm. And I had a dream that there was a gathering in my old house that I grew up in. And a lot of my relatives were there. And it was just kind of a, you know, a dinner party or a cocktail party.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed my mom sitting in a chair on the other side of the room. And I said, Mom! And she didn't say anything. She just walked up and gave me a hug, a really long
hug.
And then the dream was over.
If you need Kleenex, we have Kleenex.
Oh, no, I'm good.
I'm important.
but in that dream, she didn't say anything either. Have you heard of dreams where, you know, a loved one will come back and just not say anything?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I wish they'd start yakking.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
So
sometimes they do.
Well, yeah, never said a word in my dreams.
Really?
They show up, and it's so nice to see them. It's like you wake up with a big smile on your face.
I did.
Yeah. But
I think she was there to say thank you for mm-hmm. what you're doing for your father, because I was at his bedside every day.
Oh, sure.
And also to comfort me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But really, she doesn't need to talk to you because the message was already received.
Yeah.
You knew what she was doing and what she was telling you mm-hmm. without words. And that's mm-hmm. a lot of times how a spirit communicates is, and we have a spirit guide that we share that, he never uses words to talk to us, but we always know what he means. And we have sat down and actually had classes that he has taught us, hours and hours of communication with no words.
Wow.
Because we know what he means. We feel his meanings. right?
Yep.
He even joked around because Tim was like, someone said something about talking, and Spirit Guides covered his mouth. And he goes, can you understand what I'm saying? You know, we couldn't see his mouth, we couldn't hear his voice, but we knew what he meant.
Oh.
And so a lot of times spirits, that they'll talk through meaning and feeling, and you will understand. But sometimes they don't. Like Dad, when he first came back after he passed, we had many conversations, and he sat down and he was like, this and this and this, and he would talk and just lay it all out, and he even told me what he liked about his funeral and what he didn't like, and then, you know.
Oh, whatever. Wow.
And he talked. I mean, but a lot of times spirits come and they will just communicate because they can through energy and meaning and feeling. And you knew exactly what she meant. You already said it.
Yeah.
You don't need her to say words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
that's not interesting.
I wish my brother would come and just tell me what it's like.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. What it's like over there.
Yeah. And, you know, what he thought. He had a massive heart attack in his sleep.
Oh.
And he must have been so surprised, you know. It was a Sunday morning, and he woke up early. And his fiance said, oh, honey, come on back to bed for a little bit, and then we'll go have brunch. Came back to bed, and he
died. Never woke up.
And which, to me, for my brother, that's the best death that you could possibly wish for.
Yes.
For Sherry, it was the biggest nightmare life. But I can imagine he was surprised and, you know, maybe kind of angry and, you know, but, so I'd like to, so Randy, if you're listening, it's the time of year, come on back.
Yeah. Come visit.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, and do you ever see them when you're not sleeping? Do you ever feel them hanging out?
Well, he died, in the days after. I really felt it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really, you know, I've heard these stories, but I didn't really know what that meant until I could actually feel him. And plus some kind of funny things happened that I thought, okay, if anybody's going to come back and try to scare somebody and haunt somebody, it's going to be him trying to scare me. And right after my mother died, immediately after, I was there in the house with her, and I was upstairs, listening to a piece of music that we were going to play at her funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a glass of wine on the nightstand. And people don't believe me when I tell them this, but it happened. That glass of wine flew off the nightstand.
Wow.
And shattered. And I thought,
you didn't like that music?
Well, what I thought is, oh, Mom died.
Ooh.
And so I think it was either my mom or my brother saying, get downstairs. You got a few things to take care of. And I did. I went downstairs and she had passed.
Oh, I thought she had already passed. Sorry. And you were preparing for the funeral.
No, I was. She was dying. And so I, you know, I had to call the person that you called. My dad was sleeping and I didn't want to wake him up. And so it was, you know, you got stuff to do.
Yes.
Even downstairs.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I hear a lot of these stories when I, you know, every time I have a book out, I do a nationwide book tour. And every single time somebody will come up and tell me a story like this.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, some of these things, like the dolls, scare me. But when I hear stories like this, I'm honored to hear them.
Mm-hmm.
That they're really personal to people, and they're hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Yeah.
Wish they would talk about dreams, though. I agree.
I do.
Yeah. I know.
And I wish I would have the presence of mind in my dream to say, "Can you say something?"
Right. But we're just so happy to see them that we just are just asking that they're there.
I was really happy to see her.
Yeah. That's a good story.
That's good.
Yeah.
One of the things, I'll go on the other side of the fence here for a second. One of the things that we have to be careful of, though, too, is
wishing them back.
Oh, yeah.
Because it can tether them.
You know what? I know that, and I shouldn't have said that.
No, I don't mean it's a bad thing, because we do miss them, and we do wish they would come back and talk to us, but there are people that really, I need you to come back, I need a sign, I need you to talk to me. And it really does, it like wrangles them and holds them from moving forward sometimes, not all the time, but I have seen that when working with people that I'm like, you got to let them go because they really need to go.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the movie Ghost Town?
No.
Oh, it's one of my favorite movies. It stars Ricky Gervais.
Oh.
And he is this kind of disagreeable dentist in New York City. And he has a near-death experience after which he can see spirits. And as it turns out, they're the spirits of people who are tethered here because of unfinished business. And their loved ones are just grieving and grieving. And the loved ones can't move on. So the spirit can't move on.
That happens.
You guys will like that movie. Yeah. It's hilarious.
What is it called? Ghost Town.
Ghost Town.
Okay.
Taya Leone's in it too.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Awesome. I will look that up. That sounds like a good one to watch on Halloween week.
Yes. that absolutely happens. That's not just a movie.
Yeah.
Not all. I mean, I shouldn't say not all the time. I'm sure it does happen all the time. It's just, for as many people as I work with every week, I don't see it very often, but I know that it probably happens.
Oh, sure.
There's another movie, Truly, Madly, Deeply, and that was the subject of it, too. It was about a couple, and he had passed away, and she could not move on. And so he came back, and this was the best moment in her life. But then he just brought so many other spirits. And he was just there sort of annoying so that she could finally get on the mic. Yeah. It was beautiful though. It was I cried all the way through that.
Oh, that's good. I love it. Well, okay, so your current book that's out now is Daughters of the Lake, which is a fabulous book.
Thank you.
And it talks about the spirit of Lake Superior, and you know, we've had such a good time talking about stories. I can't even read my little highlighted notes, but for those of you out here, I take place on Lake Superior because Wendy lives on Lake Superior for a long time.
I did. I lived in Duluth for 16 years.
Yeah.
There's just a mystical quality to Lake Superior that people who are not from this area do not understand.
Right.
And so it was neat for me to write about that. I really wanted to convey that people who live up there think that lake is alive.
Oh, I.
And I do.
Yeah.
You know, even to the extent of, we don't get tornadoes in Duluth. And I think, well, it's protecting us. And sometimes it's
magical. Yeah.
Sometimes it's...
Oh, yeah, I've been up there with Crazy Wild.
Yeah.
Wow. And then sometimes I've been up there when it's 50 below and you can hardly move. But...
And there's just something about it.
Well, everything has a spirit, though. Everything has a an energy and a soul. So, yeah, it does. Maybe not alive in the way some people would say it's alive, but absolutely it has an energy and a soul to it, I guess you could say, that it can interact and it will interact and it does interact in many different ways.
It has taken a lot of lives. And what's interesting, too, is that, you know, some of these bodies that wash up that are 200 or 300 years old, like they just drowned yesterday, which is what happens at the very beginning of
that's the premise of the book.
Yeah.
So cold that the bodies don't really decompose.
And they look like they just died yesterday. Yeah. So,
which is creepy.
It is creepy. It is creepy. So for all of you out there, you should pick it up. It's really, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Kindle. It's a Kindle form.
It is. Yeah.
And
in all
exactly. And like I told you, I read it like shortly after Christmas last year, and I was very sick looking for a book to read, and I happened to come across it, and I couldn't stop reading it. I would go to sleep for a while, and I'd wake up and I'd start reading it again. it was so good. I just couldn't put it down, actually. You know
what's good too is the audiobook. The woman she's read three of my books now. She is awesome. Xe Sands is her name, and she is really, really good. And I'm, you know, just on the edge of my seat and listening, and it's like, oh, no, I wrote this thing. I know what's coming. But she really draws me in, so I'd highly recommend that too.
Yeah, and then Temperance Dare, we talked about Temperance Dare is the one before that, which is another really good book.
Yeah, that's the scariest one I've written.
It is kind of scary.
And it's very dark. Yeah, it is. My son read that, and he kind of looked at me differently after that.
But it was so good.
And then I just finished my sixth last week. So that is off to the editors. And it's set in the same town that Daughters of the Lake is set in.
Wharton.
Mm-hmm. And some of the same characters are in it. Simon is in it, backed by popular demand.
Simon.
He's funny. He's good in this one, too. Kate is in it. And Nick is in it. But they're minor characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's the story of another woman who comes to Wharton and lives in... If anybody has been to Grunke's in Bayfield, that's the setting.
Okay.
And people might not know this, but there are rooms you can rent upstairs at Grunke's. And so that's where I've set these people. And
I love it.
Yeah. It's a fun story.
I love it.
Well, you know, we've all talked about having an event out there. I think
we have to do that.
We need to stay at one of those big mansions, like the one that
takes
place. You know,
the one that is in Daughters of the Lake.
Yes,
is
with the big ballroom on top. Yeah, overlooks the Yeah. Does Jonathan show up? The car and napkin.
That's so funny. That is so funny. Yeah, Jonathan was just such a minor character.
I know.
He like pops in.
It's
and
kind of the end.
Well, and I based Simon on this friend of mine, Ken Anderson. And he said, after reading, he said, well, of course Jonathan is never around. You know, that's my love life for you.
Yeah.
But no, Jonathan is more a part of the story this time.
Oh, well, there you go.
Direct response to that.
I love it. But Simon, we love Simon. I just love Simon from First Men of Canaan. You know, it was like he just took care of Kate. I'm just like, oh my God. Who wouldn't want to go to a big old mansion and stand?
Write the next about him.
I think so. That'd be fun. Yeah, maybe he gets his abilities or something.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be a son of a lady.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
All right. Well, there we go. So the new one takes place in the same town.
And it's based on, there's a couple of different subplots. And one is based in something that really happened to me.
Oh.
There's a lot. It's a personal book, this one. A couple of years ago, my neighbors, Bert and Angie, a gay married couple, took in Bert's wife, who had early onset Alzheimer's. And the family was going to put her in a nursing home. And she was only like 62, 63 years old, beautiful woman. And Bert just couldn't stomach the idea of putting her in a nursing home.
Right.
And so they said, we'll take her in.
Yeah.
And it was the most beautiful love story I think I've ever seen. She got to live the last months of her life with the love of her life, who was Bert. And there was just a lot of love going on. You know, for Andy to do that, I thought was just awesome. And and so that is the story, but there's a paranormal twist to it. And her name is Alice in the book. And we talked a little bit about that veil being kind of thin at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for Alice, that veil is just in tatters and she can see a lot of things that as her illness progresses, that she's got one foot in and one foot out. Oh. And some interesting things, some creepy things happen.
I can't wait. And the name of this, what do we think is going to be?
The title I have now is The Mistress of the In-Between.
Oh, I love it.
And I talk about the in-between as being that moment when you are not quite awake and yet not quite asleep. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of inspiration during that time. And then that's where Alice does her thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
Woohoo!
Me too. My agent loved it and my editors both loved it, so I hope people will love it too. I felt a big responsibility writing this book because Daughters of the Lake was so successful.
Oh.
And people loved it so much. And at every word, I'm like, I hope they like this word. I hope they like this one. In the end, I just did my thing.
That's right. And that's what you did for Daughters of the Lake, too.
Yeah.
You just did your thing, and it's a phenomenal book. And Temperance Dares, the dark book. But that's a really cool one. That takes place in the whole planetarium on Lake Superior, which is not there anymore.
Yeah, it's not there anymore, but it had been there.
Yeah, which makes total sense, because we know there's no padding back into the area. Active.
Oh yes, yeah.
Yeah.
I've not been in there.
We did.
Have you been in there?
Yeah, we did an investigate. We were like one of the first ones to be up there, and we were up there, and it was like 20
in Duluth
in January. And I said, "We got to go. We got to do it, because what if they decide they don't want to let people in here anymore?" So we did it. Crazy place.
Oh my!
It's in bad, really bad shape. Heidi went in summer and said, when we were there, we could have worn ice skates down those.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
It was bad. So the water gets.
Yeah, we were asbestos filtering masks because we had no idea what was in there.
Oh.
And when we went in, everything was thawed and soggy and wet. We just didn't know what was floating around in there, so we kept masks on the whole time.
But a beautiful place to die. I mean, this is what I said. If you had tuberculosis and you knew you were going to die, that would be a beautiful place, because it's beautiful up there on the hilltop and overlooking. And, no petting, I think, is the Ojibwe phrase of place of healing or place of peace. I don't really remember, but something of that nature.
Oh, okay.
And it is very peaceful up there.
Yeah.
All right, it's 8:57. Oh, yeah. Bobby, do you have any final words you want to share with people?
Just happy Halloween, everybody. This is my favorite time of year. And thank you so much for having me back. It was so much fun to be in the studio.
Yeah. We're happy to have you here. This was really fun. And thanks to everyone who came to be a part of this gathering.
Thank you.
Awesome. So awesome. And
everybody listening.
And if there's troops out there listening, because sometimes we have troops listening from overseas. So thank you for listening, and thank you for, your service and, giving us our freedom. And next week we have boys from Cryptomania on our show.
Yes. It'll be fun. And Sarge, our producer, I have to give another shout out. Thank you for all your help. We've been working on some behind the scenes stuff. So thank you for all of his extra help with us.
Yeah.
And of course, Para X for hosting us. We are always grateful to be here and just love it every week. So thank you.
So join us next week, same time, same place.
We'll see you then. Have a good week and a happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
This one.
Yeah, so you can see. I know I'm